By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine. Even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Musaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'audhu billahi min shaitan rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Viewers, please repeat after me. As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulullah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Nabi Allah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah. Viewers of Madani Channel, welcome to Rise and Shine. Before we begin the program today, we're going to give you a blessing of reciting Durud-e-Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that when those who love each other for the pleasure of Allah azza wa jal meet each other, shake hands and send salat upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then the past and future sins of both of them are forgiven before they get separated. Allahu Akbar. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Madani Channel, please make a habit of reciting Durud-e-Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, like, there's many, many times in your life where you're waiting for something to happen. You know, if you've got a business, you're waiting for a customer. You're going to the doctor, you're waiting to see the doctor. You go to the dentist, you're waiting to see the dentist. All this waiting time should never be wasted time. And one of the best ways of utilizing that time is sending Durud-e-Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If only we get into a habit, then inshallah, who knows, that one extra Durud-e-Pak that you recite today might make all the difference on the Day of Judgment. In the current situation, there's a pandemic happening, and this pandemic has created fear amongst the community, and this pandemic has spread far and wide. But there's another pandemic that has been there for centuries, but we failed to talk about it, and it's affected each and every one of us. And today, inshallah, we're going to talk about that pandemic. But before we start to talk about the topic, inshallallah, we're going to listen to the tilawat of the Holy Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Qul huwallahu ahad. الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد صدق الله العظيم.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Viewers of Madani Channel, we just listened to a few ayats of the Holy Quran. If only we can get into a habit of listening to and reading the Holy Quran on a daily basis. Amir al-Sunnah in the Madani Namaz card, he requests us to listen to at least 3 ayats of the Quran on a daily basis with translation and commentary. And the idea is that by listening to 3 ayats every day and listening to the translation and listening to the commentary, that something will affect our hearts. It is said that when water drops on a stone, just drop by drop, drop by drop, then them drops make a hole in the stone. If only we got into a habit of reading or listening to at least 3 ayats of the Quran on a daily basis, listening to or reading the translation and the commentary, then drop by drop, they'll fall on our heart and make a change, inshallah. Now, inshallah, we're going to listen to a kalam, inshallah, azawajal. So please stay tuned to us, inshallah. We've got an interesting topic. I've not introduced the topic yet, so please stay tuned, and now we'll listen to the kalam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Salli ala nabiyyina, salli ala Muhammadin, padhiye salli ala shafiina, salli ala Muhammadin, phir ke gali gali ta ابا ٹھوکر سب کی کھائے کیوں پھر کے گلی گلی تبا ٹھوکر سب کی کھائے کیوں دل کو جو جائے کیوں پڑھیے صلی علی نبینا صلی علی محمد صلی علی شفینا تیری رحمتوں کا دریا سر چل رہا ہے تیری رحمتوں کا دریا سر چل رہا ہے مجھے بھی مجھے بھیک مل رہی ہے میرا کام چل رہا ہے مجھے بھیک مل رہی ہے اور میرے دل شریک نام تیرا میرے دل کی دھڑکنوں میں ہے شریک نام تیرا اسی نام کی بدولت آقا اسی نام کی بدولت میرا نام چل رہا ہے اسی نام کی بدولت میرا نام چل رہا ہے مجھے بھی مل رہی ہے ہاں ہاں مجھے بھیک مل رہی ہے میرا کام چل رہا ہے مجھے بھیک مل رہی ہے
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ماشاءاللہ Viewers of Madhuri Channel, you've just listened to a kalam, and the reason why we listen to these kalams and listen to these nas is so that we can instill inside ourselves the love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you don't understand them, just still listen to them, that surely slowly inshallah the love will enter into our hearts. And if you can try and translate them, get people to explain them to you so that you can understand the words behind that. Today we've got a like we said at the beginning, an interesting topic, a topic that's affecting all of us, a topic that's probably affected us all our lives, but we don't even realize that it's affecting us. And this is the, and I call it the pandemic, I'll use the word pandemic, it's the pandemic of lying. Lying has been so far spread within our communities, within ourselves, that we don't even realize, and we have this illness inside ourselves now, And we don't even realize we are ill. We don't even realize that we are committing this sin day in, day out. And I'm going to give you a parable, a hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regards to this. It is stated that a man visited the court of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he says, I want to believe in your prophethood, but I have four bad habits. Number one, I drink alcohol. Number two, I'm an adulterer. Number three, I'm a thief. And number four, I lie and I don't speak the truth. People say that you declare these acts haram, but I do not have the ability to abandon them all. If you allow me to abstain from only one of these acts, then I too will become one of your followers. So he's basically saying that I have these four problems. I know I commit these four sins. I know that I drink alcohol. I know that I'm an adulterer. I know that I'm a thief, and I know that I lie. But I don't have it in my capacity to give up all of these sins. So if you allow me to just stop one sin, I will become a Muslim, but I will only stop one of these sins. Allahu Akbar. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, refrain from lying. Allahu Akbar. The hikmah behind this. Listen to the hikmah behind the words of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the man, he accepted this. He accepted this command from the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he converted to Islam. After his departure, after he left, he was offered some wine. And he thought to himself that if I drink this wine, and the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam inquires regarding this, to which I respond with a lie, then I will have broken my promise. On the other hand, if I tell the truth, he will punish me as per Shariat. So what he did is, he turned down the invitation to drink wine. Later on, he got the opportunity to fornicate, but the same thought came to him, and he refrained from that as well. The same happened with theft. Allahu Akbar. On his next visit to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he confessed, O beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, your decision was wonderful. Since when I refrained from lying, all avenues of sins became sealed for me. All avenues of sins became sealed for me. Viewers of Mother Chilla, you can see from this that when a person abandons lying and speaks only the truth, just think about this, no lying and speaking only the truth, then you will abandon all sorts of sins. We learn that lying, viewers of Mother Channel, is the root of all sins. It's the worst of all habits. Lying is contemptible, whether it's expressed verbally or through any action as well. And we lie without any reason. We lie without any reason. You know, if you ask the brothers that, you ask them, oh, did you go to the weekly Ishtama this week? Yeah, I went, yeah? And he didn't attend. Have you had something to eat? You know, out of courtesy, someone will be sat there and they'll come and you're having something to eat. Have you had something to eat? Yeah, I've had. And they've not had. But they're feeling that, you know, just to be polite, you have to do this. And then we have the mobile phone, yeah, where people ring you up and they say, oh, where are you? And you think to yourself, where does he want me to be, or where do I want to be that I don't want to be where he wants me to be? So he wants you to be in a certain place, but you don't want to be there because you'll have to do something, and unfortunately you are in that place, so you lie. Oh, I'm in the city, I'm in London, I'm in Manchester, I'm out of town, I'm at home, I'm busy, and you make all sorts of excuses, and you're lying just for the sake of what? What have you achieved? You know, if I say to that brother, look, yes, I am here, but I'm busy at the moment, sorry, I can't, you know, do what you've asked me to do, I'll do it later, then what's the harm in that? Rather than lying by saying that you're in a different place, or lying by just to prove a point. And unfortunately, we get into the habit of this, and we don't realize the destruction that we're causing to ourselves. You know, by us lying, this illness within ourselves is spreading. You know, rather than containing an illness, which at the moment what we're doing is, you know, at the moment we're talking about social distancing here and keeping this distance so that we contain the illness. Yeah, this illness of lying, by us continuously lying, we are spreading the illness within ourselves. Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, and I give you the translation from Kanzul Iman, Ayah 30 of Surah Al-Hajj, Allah Azza wa Jal says, and it's a command, and avoid false speech. In another ayat of the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, only those, Allahu Akbar, listen to this, viewers of Madani Channel, only those who do not believe in Allah's verses, a true false allegation, and only they are liars. And only they are liars. Alama Mawlana Mufti Sayyid Muhammad Nimuddin Murabadi Ramatullahi Ta'ala has elaborated on this glorious ayat of the Quran, and he said, lying and lying false accusations are the traits of faithless people. He's basically saying that if you lie by openly lying or laying false accusations or allegations on to someone, then this is the traits of those people that have no faith. Is that what we've become? That we've lost our faith, that we're constantly lying, that we don't even realize that we are doing this to ourselves? But the problem is, viewers of Madani Channel, that we don't realize that we're doing this to ourselves. We don't realize that we are committing this sin all day. Why? Because it's become a habit. It's become such a bad habit within ourselves that we do it without thinking. And we need to pause and think before we speak. But unfortunately, we don't. And our brains have become such now, they've become such now that we're committing this sin of lying so often that when an opportunity arises or when a situation arises, our brain first and foremost thinks of how to lie to get out of it rather than speaking the truth. Alama Imam Fakhruddin Muhammad bin Umar Ghazi rahmatullahi elaborates regarding these ayats that we just mentioned. He said the glorious ayat is strong evidence to prove that lying is the worst of major sins and the most despicable evil, since only people who do not have faith in the signs of Allah Azza wa Jal can have the audacity to lie and make false accusations against other people. The style in which the All-Merciful Allah Azza wa Jal has condemned lying intensifies its condemnation. Allahu Akbar. We hear from this, we learn from this, viewers of Mother Channel, that lying again and again and again, it signifies weak faith. It causes within ourselves a spiritual corruption for liars. Lying is a disease that gradually diminishes faith. It is a disease that is hard to detect, and it is caught quite vividly, because every time liars lie, they say to themselves, what harm will one lie do? You know, if I lie once, what's the difference? If I lie twice, what's the difference? Allahu Akbar. Whereas social disorder usually begins with lying. Liars are recorded in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. And they, the liars, as a punishment for lying, they will be thrown into the hellfire. The Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said, speaking truth is a virtue, and virtues live to paradise. And lying is a sin, and this sin leads to the hellfire. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, undoubtedly truth leads to piety, and piety leads to paradise. And undoubtedly, an individual consistently speaks the truth until in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal, he becomes a Siddiq, i.e. a tremendously truthful individual. Whereas lying leads to sin, and sin leads to the hellfire. An individual constantly lies until in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal, he becomes a very big liar. In another hadith, it is stated that a man approached the court of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he humbly inquired, O beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what action leads to the hellfire? And the noblest Rasul replied, speaking lies. When an individual lies, he is a sinner. And when he commits sins, he is ungrateful. And when he is ungrateful, he enters the hellfire. And we lie. We lie without any valid reason whatsoever. And we need to make a change in ourselves. You know, someone once said to me that liars don't have any feet. And it was an elder relative of mine. And when they first said this to me, I didn't understand it. Why is it that liars don't have any feet? And I remember asking him that, what do you mean by this? And he said that if you don't have any feet, you can't run. If you don't have any feet, you'll get caught. Liars don't have any feet. Liars will get caught. Because what happens is when you lie once, you're having to lie again to cover that lie. Lie again to cover that lie. Lie again to cover that lie. And eventually, this building of lies that you've created on such a weak foundation will crumble. And everyone will become aware of your lies. But if you think you're clever, if you think that you can get away with it, if you think that, look, it doesn't matter, I'm clever, I'll be able to tell a lie in front of him and he won't realize, and he won't realize, and he won't realize, and I'll lie and I'll be able to achieve this and I'll be able to achieve that. Okay. But do you think that you can get away with all these lying, all these lies, when you're in your dark and lonely grave? Do you think that on the day of judgment, your lies will not become apparent? Do you think you'll be able to make excuses for them lies that you have done in this dunya? Or you may be clever. You may be able to get away with it here. And even then it's doubtful, because like I said, liars don't have any feet. Sooner or later you'll get caught. And once people realize that you are a liar, once people realize that you're committing the sin of lying, they'll never trust you. They will never trust you again. And whenever, you know, people will have this, you'll hear it, people saying that, oh, you know, how do you know that he's lying? Okay? How do you know that that person is lying? And someone will say, oh, when he opens his mouth, we know that he's lying. And that's what people will think of you. That even when you're speaking the truth, they will think that you are lying. They will constantly think that even when you're speaking the truth, they will think that you are lying. There was a story of somebody that scared people by saying that, you know, the house is on fire, the house is on fire, yeah? And people would run out of the houses with buckets of water, and when they'd get there, the house wasn't on fire. And he would laugh at them. And then sometime later, he would say, the house is on fire, the house is on fire, and people would run out with buckets of water, and the house would not be on fire. And this happened, and eventually it got to the point that one day, unfortunately, the house was on fire. And when the house was on fire, and he came out and he screamed, he said, the house is on fire, the house is on fire, nobody came at the houses to help him. Why? He's lying again. He's lying again, so why should we go and help him? Yeah? He's going to make a fool of us again, he's going to laugh at us again, so he doesn't bother. So now what happens is, his house gets burned down. And why? Because he was constantly lying. Lying just to jest, lying just to joke. And unfortunately, that's what another thing that happens, that we lie just for the fun of it. We lie so that we can see what happens as a result of me lying. Yeah? As a result of me lying, you know, what's going to happen? We try to get people into trouble, or we try to get people to have an accident, or we try to get people to have a slip or a fall or anything by lying. And we need to realize that, you know, lying for fun, lying as a joke, you know, what have you achieved? You've achieved a little laugh. You've achieved a little smile inside yourself. Not for that person that you've harmed. You may smile today, but that day will come where you will not be smiling. Allahu Akbar. And viewers of Madani Channel, we have a special package for you now, inshaAllah Azawajal. We have a package where Abdul Habib Bhai will, inshaAllah, recite a kalam regarding Ghawse Pak Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullahi Ta'ala. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ey Shah-e Jilani,
Ey Shah-e Jilani,
Ey Mire Mira, Mira,
Mira, Ey Mire Mira,
Nazre Karam Khuda Ra,
Peeron Ke Peer,
Nazre Karam Khuda Ra,
Roshan Zameer,
Nazre Karam Khuda Ra, Nazre Karam Khuda نظرِ کرم خدا را
اے
نظر کرم خدا را.
سب کا کوئی نہ کوئی دنیا میں آسرا ہے, سب کا کوئی نہ کوئی دنیا میں آسرا ہے. میرا بجز تمہارے, میرا بجز تمہارے کوئی نہیں سہارا.
نظر کرم خدا را
اے میرے میرا,
نظر خدا را
اے پیرے پیران,
نظر کرم خدا را, نظر کرم خدا را.
مولا علی کا صدقہ, دادا پیا کا صدقہ, گنجے شکر کا صدقہ, احمد رضا کا صدقہ, نوری ضیا کا صدقہ, مرشد پیا کا صدقہ. میری لاج رکھ لو یا غوث, میری لاج رکھ لو یا غوث, میں مرید ہوں تمہارا.
نظر کرم خدا را
پیروں کے پیر,
نظر کرم خدا را
روشن ضمیر,
نظر کرم خدا را, نظر کرم خدا را.
جھوٹی ہماری بھر دو ورنہ کہے گی دنیا, جھولی ہماری بھر دو ورنہ کہے گی دنیا, ایسے سخی کا منگتا شاہ جینا کا منگتا, پھرتا ہے مارا مارا.
نظر کرم خدا را
اے شاہ جینا,
نظر کرم خدا را
اے میرے میرا,
نظر کرم خدا را, نظر کرم خدا را.
یہ عطا دستگیری کوئی میرے دل سے پوچھے, یہ عطا دستگیری کوئی میرے دل سے پوچھے, وہی آ گئے مدد کو, وہی آ گئے مدد کو. میں نے جب جہاں پکارا,
نظر کرم خدا را
اے میرے میرا,
نظر کرم خدا را
اے پیرے پیرا,
نظر کرم خدا را, نظر کرم خدا را.
یہ تیرا کرم ہے مرشد جو بنا لیا ہے اپنا, یہ تیرا کرم ہے مرشد جو بنا لیا ہے اپنا. کہاں روسیا فریدی, کہاں مجھ سا یہ نکما, کہاں سلسلہ تمہارا.
حضر کرم خدا را
پیروں کے پیر
نظر کرم خدا را
روشن ضمیر
نظر کرم خدا را نظر کرم خدا را
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Viewers of Madani Channel, you're watching Rise and Shine, and we just heard a munkabat about Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Ghousepak. And there's an interesting event in his life regarding the topic that we are discussing today. When he was a young man and he made the intention to leave his village of Jilan to go to Baghdad in search of knowledge, his mother, she took out the inheritance that she had for him, and it was 40 gold dinars, and she sewed it into the lining of his jacket. And she said to her son that, my son, go in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, and inshaAllah Azza wa Jal, we will meet on the day of judgment. But she also said to him that, my son, remember this, no matter what happens, whatever happens in your life, never ever lie. And we've heard this so many times that this is what the mother said. And two things strike me. Number one is that she sent her son in the path of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and she said to her son, she knew. She said that, my son, go in this path and I'll never see you. I will see you on the day of judgment. So she knew that she was not going to see her son again because he was going to go on this path and the chances were slim of meeting him again, which is such a huge sacrifice to make. But she understood the importance of acquiring the knowledge of the deen. And nowadays when we ask people to travel on a 3-day Madri Qafli, they find it hard. Reflect on the sacrifices that were made by Ghousepak. But the second thing, when she gave the second advice, she could have said anything to him. She could have given him any advice. But the advice she gave her son, and she made him promise it, that my son promised me that no matter what happens, you will never ever lie. And as a result of that, what happens as they were making the journey to Baghdad, in that time what they used to do is, people used to travel in groups, and it was better to travel in groups for safety. And he was traveling in a caravan to Baghdad, and robbers attacked the caravan. And when the robbers attacked this caravan and stopped them all and started to remove all the valuables, whatever they had, they asked this, one of the robbers asked the young Ghousepak that, have you got anything? And he said, yes, I've got 40 gold dinars. And they thought, you know, if he had it, why would he be telling us? He's just joking with us. And they left him, yeah, because they couldn't obviously apparently see anything. And another robber asked him the same thing. And this time when the second robber asked him the same thing and he, you know, said the same answer, then he got a little bit annoyed with him. And at the end, what they did is they brought Ghousepak in front of the chief of the robbers and said that this young man, you know, he's claiming to have something, but he doesn't appear to have anything. So the chief of the robbers asked him that, what are you saying you have? And he said, I have 40 gold dinars. And the chief of the robbers said, where are these 40 gold dinars? And Ghousepak started to unpick his jacket. And when he unpicked his jacket and he took out the 40 gold dinars and presented them, the chief of the robbers was shocked. And he said to the young Ghousepak that, you know, if you'd kept quiet and lied, you know, when we asked you if you had anything, if you'd lied at that time, then we would not have found these 40 gold dinars. We would not have found these, and you obviously need this money. So why did you speak the truth? You know, you could have lied and kept the money. We would not have found it. And Ghousepak replied that before I left my home, I made a promise to my mother that I would never ever lie and I would always speak the truth. Now these words of truth had a profound effect on the hearts of the chief of robbers and all of the robbers. When they heard these words, when they heard these words coming from a wali of Allah, from a friend of Allah Azza wa Jal, when they heard these words, it penetrated their hearts. And the chief of the robbers said that, you know, you have not broken the promise. You have not broken the promise that you made to your mother. But every day we are breaking the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the chief of the robbers repented there and then. And all of the two robbers, they all repented at the hands of Wosipak, and they gave back all the valuables that they had. And it is said that all of them become walis of their time. How did this happen? By telling the truth. By telling the truth. Viewers of Madani Channel, I'm quite new to this Rise and Shine program, alhamdulillah. I'll get the hang of it sooner or later, inshallah. But we have daily packages as well, and I've been told that we have a reminder of the day. So let's go and see the reminder of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
My dear viewers of Madani Channel, in today's society, we have an epidemic, meaning we have a problem. And that is, our youngsters and our elders are not respecting one another. Within our own culture, we have a big problem. Mother swearing at children, children swearing at parents, brother swearing at sister, sister swearing at brother, not respecting one another. Swearing in itself is haram, but swearing at family is worse. I'm sure that's worse, and I know you know that's worse. We need to love and respect one another as much as possible. Your father goes out to work. He earns money for you. And then when you're older, you swear at him? It's not right. It's unethical. What we do, like if we do things like this, it is unethical. And we need to change. Because remember, if your father is upset with you, then Allah Azza wa Jalla is also upset with you. If your mother and father are happy with you, then Allah Azza wa Jalla is happy with you. We must not upset anybody, especially our family. At the end of the day, your friends will desert you. Everybody will desert you. Your acquaintance will desert you. Your colleagues will desert you. Only your parents will stick with you, and your brothers and sisters will stick with you. So by you swearing at them, it's not making good habits, and it is not helping you to make good relationship with your family. We need that relationship desperately, desperately, desperately. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, I was listening to that daily reminder about respecting our parents and the fact that people lie to the parents, and it's quite a powerful reminder for us. So it's something that we need to be very wary of and make sure that we don't fall into that trap of those people that commit those sins. But back to the topic that we're talking about today, which is also such a grave sin, and that is the sin of lying. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that in my dream, a person came to me and requested, accompany me. And I accompanied me, and I saw two people at a place, one of whom was standing and the second one who was sitting. The one who was standing had pincers made up of steel in his hand, which he would put into the jaw of the man who was sitting down and drag them to rip him up to his neck. He would then take them out and put them into the other jaw and drag them in the same way. In the meantime, the first jaw would restore to its normal condition. Allah. Astaghfirullah. I asked the person who brought me, what is this? And he replied, this person is a liar, and he will be tormented in this way in the grave until the day of judgment. Astaghfirullah. The famous saint, Sayyidina Abu Abdurrahman Hatim Asim Balki Rahmatullahi Ta'ala stated, it's been relayed to us that a liar will be transformed into a dog in the hellfire. And the one who bears jealousy will be transformed into a pig. And the backbiter will be transformed into a monkey. Views of Madin Channel, three sins have been mentioned there: lying, jealousy, and backbiting. And we need to be aware of what these sins are. And I think we understand what lying is. But jealousy, hasad, to want something that somebody else has got, to want that it be removed from him and given to you, this is jealousy. And backbiting, what is backbiting? Backbiting is to talk about your Muslim brother and sister behind their back, that if they were to hear what you were to say about them, it would hurt them. But unfortunately, we don't even know what these sins are. We don't understand that we are committing these sins. And just on backbiting alone, a few examples. For example, you're at a wedding and you're having a meal there. And you say to the person next to you, oh, there's too much oil in this. Yeah, there's not enough salt in this. There's too much chili in this. Oh, they didn't put enough salad out. You know, there wasn't enough sweet dishes today. All of these things are backbiting. And if that person was to hear what you were saying, would he not be upset with it? But the most important thing is that with lying and with backbiting, what do you achieve? By backbiting, by saying that there's too much oil in the curry, by saying there's too much salt, by saying there's not enough salad, by saying there's not enough sweet dishes, by saying there's not enough this or there's not enough that, or whatever you say, or by saying, you know, other examples of backbiting is where you talk about the person's transport and say, oh, look at the car that he's driving, you know, I wouldn't even drive that. You know, I'd be ashamed of taking that to the scrapyard. Look at the clothes that he's wearing, you know, so out-of-date clothes. Look at the clothes that he's wearing, he's not even ironed his clothes. All of these things, if you were to say, what have you achieved? I'll tell you what you've achieved. You've achieved the fact that by doing these things, you've achieved that sin that will last forever unless you repent, and you'll be punished on that dark and lowly grave. You'll be punished on the day of judgment, and you'll be punished in the hellfire. That's what you've achieved. Yes, by just saying these small, will appear to you small words, my small phrases, this is what you have achieved. But if you were to remain silent and say nothing, then inshaAllah Azza wa Jal, you will attain salvation. But unfortunately, it's become so rampant that we think we have to do it. You know, we sit in a gathering and we think we have to gossip. We think we have to backbite. We think we have to tell a story that includes lies in it just so that people will laugh. We have to, otherwise people will think, well, he's got nothing to say. Viewers of Madani Channel, it is better to have nothing to say than to lie. It is better to have nothing to say than to swear. It is better to have nothing to say than to gossip. It is better to have nothing to say than to backbite. Because by saying nothing, okay, people will not laugh with you. People will not laugh at you. People will not think that you are the center of attraction in this conversation today. Okay. But by refraining from all of those things, you'll refrain, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, from the punishment in that dark and lonely grave and on the day of judgment. It is stated that once a man stole his cousin's belongings and the owner caught the thief in the blessed Haram Sharif of Makkah. And he claimed for his belongings, but the thief responded, you are lying. The owner replied, if it is so, then swear an oath. Astaghfirullah, the thief, listening to this, he swore an oath in front of the Holy Kaaba, standing beside Maqami Ibrahim. Saying this, the owner raised his hands for a prayer, standing between Rukni Yamani and Maqami Ibrahim. And after a short while, as soon as the owner started praying, the thief went insane and started screaming and shrieking. What has happened to me? And what has happened to the belongings? And what has happened to the owner? When the news was heard by Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radiallahu ta'ala, the blessed grandfather of the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he came, collected the belongings, handed them over to the owner and went away. Whereas the thief, he kept running, shrieking and crying until he eventually fell off a mountain and ended up being eaten by wild animals. Viewers of Madri Channel, we can see that this particular thief He was also a liar. And he swore dishonestly. He was met with such horrendous consequences that this is a severe warning for all of us, that we make these oaths just for the sake of it. I remember, you know, as you are brought up, when people give you a nasihat, give you an information or tell you to do something, you remember it. I remember as a young child, I think I was maybe 10 years old. I remember walking with my uncle, and my uncle was inquiring about me. He maybe had heard something that I'd been at a certain place or something. And he said to me, Beta, were you at a certain place? And I said, no, I wasn't. Beta, were you at a certain place? Are you sure you weren't at this certain place? I said, no, uncle, I wasn't. But are you sure? Are you speaking the truth? And what I did was, I swore, I said, yeah, I swore an oath on Allah Azza wa Jalla. I said, Allah Paak ki qasam. Yeah. Allah Paak ki qasam, uncle, I wasn't there. And my uncle said to me that, look, don't make this oath. Never make this oath. Speak the truth. Tell me the truth, but never make an oath like this. And alhamdulillah, since then it's been ingrained in me that I try my best not to make this oath. Just think about that person that makes an oath and swears and lies at the same time. Yeah. Because if you are constantly making these oaths, constantly making these qasams as they call them, then you'll get into the habit of doing it. And what will happen is when you are lying, you will also make this qasam. And what will happen is that if then you have made this qasam, made this oath, lied at the same time, then what will happen to you? Allahu Akbar. Viewers of Mother Channel, we need to be very serious about what we are doing and make us ourselves realize that, you know, these sort of things, we need to, sometimes we need to stop and pause for a second and think to ourselves, you know, what illnesses have I got? You know, people open up medical books nowadays and they read medical books. And when they read a medical book, people say to them, don't read medical books. The reason why is when you read a medical book, even if you haven't got an illness, you think you've got that illness. You know, you read all that. It says, I've got a bit of a stomach pain. And if you have a bit of a stomach pain with a headache, you've got this. And you think, oh yeah, I've got a bit of a stomach pain. I get a bit of a headache as well. Yeah, I must have that illness. And they say to us that we shouldn't read these medical books because when you read them, what will happen is you'll start realizing that you've got illnesses that you haven't got. Viewers of Mother Channel, you need to start reading the books of Deen to understand what illnesses you have got. And if you think you have got this illness, in the same way that, you know, when you read a medical book and you think you've got an illness, and you haven't got that illness and you take all sorts of medicines and precautions, then it could have a detrimental effect on you. But if you read these books on backbiting, you read these books on lying, you read these books on jealousy, you read these books on all of these things, and by reading them you think to yourself, you know what, I might have that illness. What do I need to do? What are the cures? What do I need to abstain from? And if you follow them cures that are in them books, then there's no side effects like it is having these medicines.
The side effects of this is, well, inshallah, azawajal, it will improve yourself.
So we need to have this knowledge. And unfortunately, we don't have this knowledge. We don't even know what these illnesses are. We'll read these medical books, these health books, to find out what illnesses we've got, or even those illnesses that we haven't got. But we'll refrain from reading these books. So please, viewers of Madani Challenge, whilst we're in a situation where we are sitting here now in our homes, utilize this time. Read the Quran, study the Quran, study the books. And you may say, well, I can't go out and buy books. Okay, fair enough. www.dawatislami.net. There's a book library there. Hundreds of books, maybe thousands of books. You may say, well, I can't read Urdu books. They're translated into English as well. Well, I can't read English. I only read
Swahili or French or German.
They're in them languages as well. 37 different languages the books have been translated into. Download them books, read them books, utilize these time. Become aware of those illnesses that maybe you are being affected by. And follow the cures that are in these books so that you can rectify yourselves. You're watching Arise and Shine, and alhamdulillah, we also have a daily hadith every single day as well, a blessing. You know, listening to the words of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if only we learned the hadiths off by heart and implemented them. So when we have a daily hadith, whatever the hadith is, there should be a message there for us. A message there of something of how we can make a change in our lives and how we can live our lives. So let's listen to the daily hadith. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Rise and Shine, inshallah azawajal, in today's daily hadith, we will hear about a very important element of our lives. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu has reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, يَأْتِ عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ. A time will come upon the people, لَا يُبَالِي الْمَرْءُ مَا أَخَذَ مِنْهُ, when one will not care where he attains his wealth from, whether he attains it through permissible means or impermissible means, halal or haram. No doubt, one of the obligations upon a Muslim is that he earns for himself and his family a pure and halal sustenance. On one occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam did not sleep all night. So Ummul Mu'mineen, Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha asked, O Messenger of Allah, what has caused you to stay awake all night? The best of mankind sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam replied that I found a date last night and I ate it. Then I remembered that we had in our house some dates that were meant for charity. So I feared that the date I ate was from the dates that were to be given to charity. Subhanallah, what does this go to show? Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam ate one date, forgetting that he had some dates in his house that were meant for charity. And this caused them to have a sleepless night, just out of fear that this date may have been from the dates of the charity. So this accidental morsel caused our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam so much unrest and so much discomfort. In reality, this serves as a lesson for us. This is a teaching within this. There is a teaching for us, those of us who may be earning such a living that comes from a means of haram, and yet we enjoy a deep sleep at night. And like this, we have countless accounts of various Sahaba-i Kiram and Awliya who too are great role models, even in just safeguarding themselves from doubtful food and sustenance. Halal sustenance is the means of attaining the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also His Azza wa Jal's protection. It's the mean of getting all our lawful du'as answered, and also and truly a means of being honored on the Day of Judgment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the pursuit of seeking halal sustenance easy upon all of us. Ameen, bijahin nabil, ameen. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Madin channel, you're watching Rise and Shine, and we just heard a beautiful reminder, the hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to halal income and halal sustenance. And then it's another thing that we need to ponder over, that what is our income, where is our income coming from, is it halal or not? And you might think, well, how can an income be haram? You need to check that your income is halal. It's not come from any illegal sources or sources that will attain sin. And even sometimes what happens is we open up a business and we don't even realize that by this business we are generating a haram income. And Alhamdulillah, Dawud Islami has the Darul Iftaz where you can speak to the scholars and say, look, this is the business that I'm thinking of doing. I want to do this, 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 and this. Is it halal? And they will inshallah reassure you one way or another. And if it is halal, then at least you'll have the peace in your heart that, look, you know, I am generating a halal income from my family. And then secondly, when you get that halal income, you need to make sure that you spend it in a halal way. Ensure that the food that you're buying, whatever you're spending that money on, is a halal way. So these are the things that if you attach yourself to the environment of Dawat Islami, then inshallah, you'll learn these things and improve yourself. So keep inshallah watching Madani channel and think about what people are telling you on Madani channel. Back to the topic of the day, talking about the illness that's affecting us all, the illness of lying. It is stated that one day Hajjaj bin Yusuf was carrying out the execution of a few prisoners. And one particular prisoner, he stood up and remarked, O leader, I have a right over you. And what is this? he asked. The prisoner explained, one day a certain individual insulted you, but I spoke in your defense. And Hajjaj bin Yusuf replied, who is a witness to this incident? Did anybody see this? The prisoner pleaded to the people, for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, can anyone who witnessed that conversation please testify in my favor? Another prisoner rose and confessed, yes, this incident occurred in front of me. Hajjaj bin Yusuf allowed the first prisoner to be freed, after which he asked the witness, what prevented you from defending me like the other prisoner? And this person, he answered truthfully. He said that what stopped me was an old enmity towards you in my heart. Hajjaj bin Yusuf remarked, set him free too, since he has spoken the truth with immense courage. Allahu Akbar. You know that this person, even in them times, he spoke the truth. We learn from this, my dear viewers of Mother Channel, that honest people will always prosper. They will always prosper. There's an Urdu proverb. Please forgive me if I get the Urdu wrong. Sanch koi aanch nahi. That meaning an honest person has nothing to fear. Only benefit shall be in his destiny. However, it is with tremendous disappointment that today in our communities, lying has transformed ourselves. Men, women, children, adults, rich, poor, whatever status we are in, we are affected by lying. And even we lie in situations that would not even cause any worldly harm. Sometimes people lie to protect themselves and think that by lying, I've saved myself from this. But that is very few and far between. And inshallah, we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But in the majority of the cases, we're lying without any valid reason. And one of them we see a lot is lying in front of children. Lying so that children will do something. Come here and I'll give you this. And we've got nothing to give them. Yeah? But we lie to them and they come to us. Oh, if you don't do this, then that person's going to come and get you now. And that person doesn't even exist. And we scare our children with all of these things. This is lying, my dear brothers. Why? And what also is happening is sooner or later that child will catch on. Sooner or later that child will understand, you know what, my dad's lying. My mum's lying to me. Yeah? Because every time my dad said to me, come here, I'll give you this, or do this and I'll do that for you, or don't go there because of this, sooner or later that'll catch on. And what'll happen is, you'll put a mark on his book that, you know what, my mum lies, my dad lies. Yeah, something I should do as well. And sooner or later that child will start to lie as well. Because he'll understand that, what has my father taught me? My father taught me that if he wants to achieve something, he lies and he gets me to do it. So if I want anything, I'll lie as well. And if I lie, I'll get what I want. In the same way that my father's done it, in the same way that my mother's done it. They've lied and they got me to do these things. They've lied and they got me to be afraid of things. They've lied and made me do this or refrain from doing this by lying. So you know what? Lying's a good thing. That's what they'll think. And you will be responsible for instilling that disease in them at a young age. You know, we're told that at a young age that people have these vaccinations where they're given injections to prevent them from having illnesses. What you're doing is you're injecting that illness into them. You're injecting that illness into them and you're giving them more and more injections every single day. Not only when you're lying in front of them, to them, but when you're lying to other people as well. How many times do you hear people, that when people knock at the door, yeah, and people will say to the child, tell him your dad's not at home, tell him your mum's not at home, yeah, and the child knows that dad's at home because he can see him, the child knows that mum's at home because he can see them. So he goes to the door and he opens the door and the person says, is your dad at home? No, sorry, my dad's not at home, and he closes the door. What's that child thought? You know what? This lying's a good thing, you know. You can get away with so much by lying. You can achieve so much by lying. And so gradually, you're giving him daily injections of this disease. Rather than giving him daily vaccinations to stop the disease, you are giving daily injections of the disease. You never give an injection of the disease, you give an injection of the vaccination. You're trying to stop the illness. But what we're doing is, we're putting this illness inside our children. And what will happen is they'll learn from that. They realize that this is the way forward. They'll take this as a means of attaining success in the future. And throughout the whole life, they'll be lying and lying to move forward in life.
And all of that will be because of the lies that you taught that child. But if only we taught our children from a young age not to lie, if we taught our children from a young age the importance of telling the truth, then the benefits would be great. You know, from a young age, if your child has done something, he's done something wrong, yeah? He's done something wrong, and instead of you scolding him, you know, you ask him, beta, tell me the truth, what happened? How did this happen? And also, take the fear out of him, beta, if you tell me the truth, I won't punish you. And that'll build up the courage inside the son or the daughter to speak the truth. And when that child speaks the truth, then don't take it as an opportunity, oh, I've caught him now. Yeah, he's admitted to this, I'll punish him now. No. Explain to him what he has done wrong. But then also be proud of him. And tell him that you're happy with him, with that child, that that child spoke the truth. Beta, you should not have done this. Beta, you should not have gone there. But Beta, you know one thing? I'm very happy with you today. Why? Because you spoke the truth. I'm proud of you. Beta, always speak the truth. Remember the words of the mother of Ghawse Pak. My son, no matter what, always speak the truth. If only we could utilize them words in our household and speak to our children in this way, that we constantly tell our children, beta, speak the truth. Beta, speak the truth. And instill in them. And also be an example for them. Because it's no good telling our children to speak the truth when we lie, because they'll catch on. They're not stupid. They'll realize that you are lying, and they will catch on from this. So we need to be very, very careful of what we do in front of our children. And they are basically a blank piece of paper, that if you lie in front of them, they will start lying. You know, someone once said to me that, you know, how is it that a child speaks Urdu? It's because his parents speak Urdu. Okay. How is it a child speaks Pashto? Because his parents speak Pashto. How is it a child speaks Chinese? It's because his parents speak Chinese. How is it that a child swears? How is it that a child lies? How is it that a child backbites? How is it that a child gossips? Because the parents lie. Because the parents backbite. Because the parents swear. Because the parents gossip. Your children will learn from you. Your children will learn from you. And if we want to stop this disease, you know, if we want a cure from this disease, to stop the spread of the disease, the first person that needs to be cured is that person that you look at every morning when you go to the mirror. Cure yourself. Start with yourself, that you yourself stop lying. Stop lying, full stop. Stop lying in front of your children, stop lying in front of your spouse, stop lying in front of your parents. Stop lying, and this will spread, this cure will spread. That people will also realize that speaking the truth is the way forward. Speaking the truth is the way forward. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Amr radiallahu ta'ala narrated that one day the most beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala wasallam visited my home. And he said, my mother said, come to me, I will give you something. You know the example I gave you earlier on, that people say to them that, you know, come to me, and then they give them nothing, yeah? And he noticing this, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wasallam said to him, that what do you intend to give to him? And the person's mother replied that I intend to give him a date to eat. Upon which the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam remarked, if you would not have given him anything, it would be recorded as a lie in your deed register. Allahu Akbar. So from this, my dear viewers of Madinah Channel, we realize, as an example, that even then, by making this false thing to a child, by calling your child that I'll come home and I'll give you something, or I'll come here and I'll give you something, or whatever it is, and the child comes to you, or the child comes home, and you don't give them something, you don't give them that you mentioned, then this is recorded as a lie in your deeds. Allahu Akbar. There's a booklet, viewers of Madinah Channel, called Jhoota Chor, The Lying Thief. The Lying Thief. This is a booklet that's available online, www.dawatislami.net. I advise you, it's only a small booklet, maybe 25, 30 pages, I'm not too sure. Download that book. Download that book. Please make an intention. I humbly request you to please make an intention, download that book and read that book. Acquire this knowledge, acquire these things. We mentioned backbiting earlier on. There's a book called Backbiting, A Cancer of Society. That is quite a big book, because this cancer of society is so big that there are so many examples of it. And so you need to study and read that book. But if only we were to download these books and not only read these books, but get the family together. Like that booklet I mentioned, The Lying Thief, if you were to download that booklet and get the family together and say to the family that inshallah after Asr every day we're going to sit down as a family and we're going to read out, you know, 12 pages from this book and read out 12 pages from that book and then discuss it afterwards. Then inshallah as the time for Maghrib approaches, do dua together. Instead of us all sitting in our own rooms and looking at our own phones and going on social media, if as a family we got together, sat together, read these books together, and learn together, that inshaAllah azawajal, we would achieve so much. Viewers of Madani Channel, today we are talking about the epidemic called lying, that illness that is so spread so far in our veins that we don't even realize that it is there, and we're prone to this as well. And what happens is that wherever we are sitting, wherever, whatever gathering we are in, we start lying. Or if we're not lying, then we'll see other people that are lying. And one of the things that we lie about is when we try and joke, we try and make people happy. And as a result of that, we'll tell a story and we'll exaggerate the story, we'll make it a little bit more than it actually isn't. And we think that, what's the harm in this, yeah? I'm lying, yeah? And as a result of me lying, I'm making this person happy. That's a good thing, isn't it? No, it's not. You may think to yourself that, look, by me lying, then, you know, by putting happiness in the heart of a Muslim, yeah, it is a good thing. Yes, it is a good thing. Putting happiness in the heart of a Muslim is a good thing. But in the same way, putting food in your stomach that is haram fills the stomach. Yeah. Think about it. Putting happiness in the heart of a Muslim through haram means, is that a good thing? Would you eat haram just to fill your stomach? No. So why are you feeding haram to people to put happiness in their hearts? And as the basis of this is lying. So we need to be very, very careful about this. And we need, I think, if you make a habit of viewers of Madani Channel, that when you are in a gathering, when you're in a gathering, try and remain silent for a while. Try and remain silent for a while and listen to what people are saying and ponder over what people are saying. And sooner or later, you'll realize that you're sitting in a gathering in which lies are taking place. You're sitting in a gathering in which gossiping is taking place. You're sitting in a gathering in which jealousy is taking place. You're sitting in a gathering in which backbiting is taking place. Then you need to ponder over the fact, should I be sitting in this gathering? Is this a gathering in which I need to be sat? What am I achieving by sitting here? Yeah, that we're all getting together and we're just gossiping and lying and backbiting and having this jealousy about each other. And this affects us all. It affects the brothers and it affects the sisters. The sisters are well, as well are affected by this. Where they'll backbite about what clothes somebody's wearing or what makeup they've got or what the house is like or how clean or unclean the house is or all, what food they make. And this is all backbiting. You need to ask yourself, what have I achieved by sitting in that gathering? You know, you come together with these people. And when you leave, you're leaving carrying a burden of sins that you, if only you realized how heavy this burden is, you would not be able to move from that gathering. The burden would be so great. But if you sit in a gathering in which the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is taught, if you sat in a gathering in which you are taught to fear Allah azza wa jal, if you sat in a gathering in which you are taught to attain the pleasure of Allah azza wa jal, if you sat in a gathering in which you are taught the sunnahs of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you sat in gatherings where the lives of the pious predecessors are taught to you and mentioned to you, then you will benefit from that gathering. So we need to be very careful about the gatherings that we are sitting in. We need to be very careful about who we associate with and what effects that they have on others. And we need to be very careful about swearing, false oaths, and lying in particular. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, associating a partner with Allah azza wa jal, disobedience to our parents, murdering a person, and swearing false oaths are all the major sins. We all know how grave a sin is shirk. Associating a partner with Allah azza wa jal. We are all aware of this. All Muslims will know that it is one of the gravest sins to shirk is to associate a partner with Allah azza wa jal. But the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's mentioned in the same hadith and the same sentence that associating a partner with Allah azza wa jal, disobedience with your parents, murdering a person, and swearing false oaths, a major sin. If only we realized this one hadith, disobedience to our parents. And we heard earlier on the Mubalik where he talked about disobedience to our parents, murdering a person and swearing false oaths. What a grave sin this is. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if anyone violates the right of a Muslim by swearing a false oath, Allahu Akbar, Astaghfirullah. If anyone violates the right of a Muslim by swearing a false oath, Allah Azza wa Jal will make an entrance into hell wajib for him. And he will make an entrance into Jannat haram for him. The illustrious companions humbly required, O beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, even if it is something insignificant? And he said, yes. Even if it is frankincense, Luban, even if it's something so small, even if it's something insignificant, if you swear an oath under something insignificant, the entrance into hell will become wajib for you. The entrance into paradise will become haram for you. Views of Mother Channel, today we've been talking about lying, and we've given examples of where, you know, that people lie and people lie for the sake of lying. But one thing we want to mention is really that there are certain situations where it is permissible to lie. All for the last hour and a half we were talking about the fact that lying is such a sin, that lying can lead to the hellfire, that the person that lies, for him, you know, the doors of Jannat are closed for him and the doors of hell are open for him. But yes, my dear viewers of Madinah, there are certain conditions where if you lie, it is permissible. Number one, if a person intends to murder or harm an innocent person who is hiding from him, and to save his life, that person asks you to disclose the innocent man's whereabouts, and even if you are aware of his location, you are permitted to lie and say that you are unaware of this. So in this particular incident where somebody is trying to cause harm to someone, trying to find someone to cause harm to them, and you know where they are, you can see them, they're hiding behind something, and someone comes into the room and said, where is he? And you know he's behind the table, and you hide his, you don't disclose where he is. It is classed as a lie, but you are lying with the intention to protect that person. Number two, if you are entrusted with something valuable by someone else, and a dishonest person ask you to disclose the location because he intends to steal it, then you can deny having possession of the entrusted valuables. For example, if someone gives you something that's valuable, or someone tells you that, you know what, I'm going abroad now, I'm going on holiday now, and I've left all my gold in this place in the cupboard, yeah, and I've hidden it there, yeah. So if I need to call you and I'll tell you that where my valuables are, and somebody then who you know is dishonored says to you, you know, do you know where them people hide their gold? Do you know where they keep it in their house? Or have you got their gold? Or do you know anything about this? In that particular case, because you know that that person is dishonest, you know that that person will use this information that you're about to give him to steal, under that condition, it is permissible for you to lie. Number three, if there is a dispute between two Muslims and you want to make reconciliation between them, you can comment in front of one of them that he believes that you are a good person and praises you, and he asked me to convey salam to you, and you are permitted to make similar remarks in front of the second person in order to diminish the hostility. For example, two brothers, they're falling out. Yeah. They're not speaking to each other. And you say to one brother that, my brother, look, he thinks you're a good brother. You know, he told me to give you salam. And then you go to that brother and say that same. As a result of that, they will get back together. So if your intention is that these two Muslim brothers will get back together, then inshallah, azawajal, it is permissible to lie. Viewers of Mother Channel, you've been watching Rise and Shine. Today we've been talking about this illness of lying, and I pray to Allah Azza wa Jal that we can refrain from this illness. Keep watching Mother Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end and the sun will rise and shine. Even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.